Hello, and thanks for joining us on the New Life Show with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Yaela Shadarel. Hello. Today, we'd like to talk to Dr. Lightman about paradoxical thinking, the ability to develop this kind of thinking. What is it? How can it help us on our way to a better life? Be with us, Yael, please. Yeah, when we're talking about paradoxical thinking, let's start by saying that it's something that people really appreciate nowadays because we understand that it has many advantages, the ability to include two contradicting ideas in our mind at the same time. Even though that by nature, people like unequivocal things. They like knowing there's just one thing without having to deal with several opposite ideas and trying to understand what I do about it. The word paradox comes from Greek. Para is beyond and dox is faith. So we're talking about some kind of contradiction, a thing and its opposite that exist in the same thought or idea. Now, I'd like to ask, we know that you, as a Kabbalah teacher, truly appreciate paradoxical thinking. You teach your students how to get around in a state of contradictions. And what I like to ask is, how does it help a person? What's good about it? It sounds really confusing on the one hand. It really confuses a person. If he is in a single system of thinking, and then he has an inner collision, and he can't tie opposite contradicting ideas, and to bring them to some kind of equilibrium, supplementation. Whereas, if a person that studies the wisdom of Kabbalah has two systems, then he doesn't have a problem where by one system he is in one way of thinking, and by the other system, in the other system, he is in another way of thinking, second way of thinking, A and B, and there can also be C and D too. And it's not a problem. The entire problem is to build from the sum total of a person's abilities such thinking resources that each of them will be able to deal with a method of its own. What do you mean? Thinking resources, this I don't understand. 2, 4, it doesn't matter how many, in which he'll have completely contradicting opinions. And by paradoxical contradictions, meaning that that which exists in one system completely contradicts the other system. And it's impossible for one to exist if the other exists. And in him it exists because it happens in different systems. Now the question is, when I'm in these different systems, I can say about them that they're in paradox, in resistance, that they're opposing each other and that I feel some kind of a discomfort about it? Not necessarily. Not necessarily. Also in mathematics, you have different kinds of geometries that I can draw the geometry on a plane, or I can take a ball. I can take any shape and draw a geometry of its own on it. Especially when we go out into space, we have the need to start dealing with these things. And for a long time now, for the past hundreds of years, we already agree that there are things in which there is place both for this and for that. So I don't see that paradoxical thinking is really paradoxical and that we don't live in it. Yeah. I'll start with saying that the general approach says, the first approach says that I as a child was taught that you can't hold a stick by both sides. You either can hold the one side or the other. And in paradoxical thinking, you actually include both parts together. You do hold the stick in both directions, by both sides. And the talk today is that it really contributes to your mental health and development and intellectual development and making our society better. And I'd like to understand, how does it contribute to all these things we talked about? We have it in physics. Quantum physics. So we see that this is how it is. There, furthermore, the way electrons will pass through a slit depend on my thinking. If I think about it one way, it'll pass this way. If I'll think about it another way, it'll pass another way. So it's not that they have the option to do it like this or like that, but I, as the third party, determine how it'll happen only by my desire. How do you relate to these contradictions that exist in the same thinking? What do you do with them? I, in my superficial mind, can't see height. I can't. That's it. There are such little bugs that don't understand what height is. They live only according to surface. Either here or there. No height. I do see height, but there are several more axes that I don't see. And this paradoxical thinking develops these axes, the ability to think in terms of height. Yes. What is it about it that causes this development? I have to awaken the forces of nature, that just like nature developed that bug that can't see height, but only up to this degree, and me, it developed furthermore, that I'm also a result of that bug, but I surpassed it. I kept on developing. So I have to invite these forces from nature in order to keep developing me. What exactly do they have to develop in you? I don't know. A bug knows that it's lacking the feeling of height. No. So I don't know what I'm lacking either. I only want to awaken that force, that developing force. But the way it develops me, I'm under its control. Does this contradiction awaken the developing force? The fact that I'm holding on to two contradictions at the same time, does it awaken the developing force to influence me? Not necessarily. You have to know how to turn to it. So what is it about this thinking? There is an approach that says that paradoxical thinking helps mental development. Yeah? It gives a person different options. It gives a person the feeling to understand that there is something that's in complete contradiction with his rationale. And so much so in contradiction that by no means can he agree to it, with it. He can't. What can you do? Nothing you can do. Don't agree, or do agree. But there is something that's higher than you. And how does this thinking of two contradictions lead me to understand that there is something greater than myself, or does it lead me to some kind of a more developed, deeper thought, broader thought? I already enter this deeper development if I understand that there is something besides the surface that exists. Meaning the surface is as if my small opinion, this is the surface. Once I'm willing to accept another opinion, which completely suppose contradicts my own opinion, and to include it, even as an option, then something inside of me opens up to a higher way of thinking. The Torah gives us an excellent example. As it says, "Beitzchak ikare lechazera, v'ta'ale oto le'ola." And what does it mean? That on the one hand, that you're taking the right path. And on the other hand, you have to stop doing what you're doing in the middle. So how is it possible that I'm told two contradicting things at the same time? Right? So comes the third side, which is what? Which is above both of them. Which is what? A completely different opinion. It connects the two of them into some one thing. What is this third thing? I work neither with this mind nor with that mind. I work with a third mind. That from that very place, from where this paradoxical thinking comes from, I turn to the root of that paradox, where everything joins together, fits together, and this is how I achieve connection. And the connection, it won't be in my current mind, but that I'm willing to replace my mind with everything that I get from that source. So, just to see if I understand, you're saying that Torah encourages paradoxical thinking? Of course. The Torah, it's entirely paradoxical. All of it. It has no corporeal rationale. None. If we'll read the book of Torah, what will you see there, besides some kind of novel? Why does the Torah want to encourage paradoxical thinking in man in order to raise him to a spiritual degree? Paradoxical thinking raises man to a spiritual degree? Yes. What is a spiritual degree and what does it have to do with paradox? Spirituality is what's born from the paradox, what comes from the collision between opinions that cannot connect ever. Can you give me an example for opinions that cannot be combined? I gave you an example. No, from life. Not from the Torah, from life. What kind of situation where there are two opinions that cannot be combined and that they can connect only in spirituality? Our ego. Man's ego. Yes. It's killing us. Depends on who you ask. Well, I want to talk to people that already understand at least what I'm talking about. So the ego is what? Our ego is the desire that wants to conquer the entire world at the expense of others to my own benefit, of course. So it destroys our life, destroys life, destroys everything, on the one hand. On the other hand, it's helpmate against him that works in order to elevate us to a different degree. That were we to correctly use the ego, not superficially, but that by it we'd start ascending, then I'd succeed and every time acquire a new degree of life. Not on the plane where I advance from wealth to wealth, from knowledge to knowledge, from control to control, power to power, but every time I ascend to a higher and higher degree. So it's called help made against him. So what is this paradox and how do you combine both sides? That the evil force that was as if all the time to my detriment, as a paradox, it becomes the force of good. How is that? This I don't understand. That it's the bad force, that everything bad comes from it, this I understand. And it forces me to rise above it. This I don't understand. What is the paradox? There is the egoistic evil force, bad force in a person that destroys him and society. On the other hand, suddenly you looked at it from a different perspective, it is as if there is something good about this destructive force. Of course there is something good about it, because I see that I'm too weak to fight it, and then I relate to it differently. I want to go above it. Above that destructive force? Yes. To get rid of it? No, no, no. I keep it. I don't get rid of it. I want for it to remain and for it to further grow. Won't it destroy you? No. But you say that it's destructive. Destructive if I'm going to fight it. But I don't fight it. I rise above it. So you leave both of the contradictions. You don't get rid of any of them. Of course, this is called paradoxical thinking. That in this bad destructive force, I see that it's good. There is no evil, no bad in reality. We are the only ones that divide reality into good and bad. So now you're as if confused. On the one hand, you're saying there's this as if voice that's telling me this force is bad, destroying me and society and so on. The other voice saying it's actually good that you understand that all these things are causing destruction and so on, so find a solution. Out of both of them, I build a solution. That both of these things, they're opposed, paradoxical, as you call them, and I connect them correctly. So on the one hand, you like it, on the other hand, you don't like it. I like both. I like the bad as the good. I see that the bad's advancing me even more quickly toward the goal than the good. And what do you do with this paradox? Okay, I have this paradox with these two contradicting forces inside of me. What do I do with it? Because eventually I have to take one decision. Right. So how do I make one out of these two? Excellent, because the two are really one. Both of them are to your benefit. But what you're telling me, there's no real paradox in it, and I'll tell you why, because on the one hand, there's a force that's bad for me here, that I understand that it only harms me. On the other hand, I'm saying it's good that I've discovered it, but still, I'd want for it to be present in my life in a certain form. The thing is that I do want to change something. It's not that I have two states and I really want both of them, and I don't know what to do. You do want both of them. You can't advance with the one without the other. I need both. Of course. And only. And then, how do I get out of this? Love the bad as the good, and to see the good force, if it's only good, as something bad. So you're turning things upside down again. This is the paradox. So this is what I understand from what you're talking about. If I understand, you're saying what you think is bad, maybe it's really bad, but if you take a deeper look, it's not bad, it's good. Right. So you cancel the paradox. There's no more bad. Both are good. And you settle the paradox. You whitewashed over the bad and suddenly it became good. No. I use both the bad force and the good force. I don't erase neither the one nor the other. I'm in the connection between the two. In the third line, what is this connection between the two in the third line, where one uses both of them in the correct combination because the one cannot be, cannot exist without the other? 5 minutes ago, you said that there is no bad, eventually, that there's no bad, right? What does it mean? The world is full of bad. No. A person's personal life, the society that we live in, the world is overflooded with bad things, with evil. So when you're saying that there is no bad, you're not disconnected from life. You live a normal life like everyone else, and you see that there is bad. So how, in this reality, which is very far from being perfect, to say the least, how can you say that there's no bad in it? This is an example for paradoxical thinking. You both live among us and see these bad things, and at the same time, you say that there are no bad things. I use the bad and the good as two forces that I do not attribute neither good nor bad to them, but these are two opposite forces. I rise above determining what's good and what's bad, but these are two contradicting forces out of which I combine, I build the third line that elevates me. What is this third line? The combination between the two. What kind of combination? This is the settling of the paradox, this third combination? Yes. So how do you build it, and what does it settle, and what do you get as a result of this process? Peace, completion. Can you explain? That all of the evil that becomes revealed, it becomes revealed to the measure to which it helps me find the bad in me, where I'm incomplete with the Creator, and this is how I reach completion, supplementation. So what is that evil that does not allow me to reach completion with the Creator, and what is the Creator? It rejects the upper force from its completeness. Can you explain a bit? The evil in me is that it does not want to acknowledge the Creator as the one unique and unified force, the good that does good. Is it important to acknowledge the Creator this way? Yes, because it is the force that sustains reality. Why not come to know it? Without it, I can't get along in life. It's not that I need the Creator for something else or this force, but I need it in order to be able to live my life. Why? Because then I'll succeed in everything. And this eventually settles the paradox? Of course, because in Him, then all the paradoxes are solved, all contradicting matters, only on this condition. Who is this He? The upper root. The upper root of the entire universe, of our entire life. And how is this different from religious perception? I don't know. I don't research religion. I'm sorry. I only study the wisdom of Kabbalah. And it's unrelated to religion. This is what I can say. Therefore, don't ask me about religion. No, not about religion, about what you said. I couldn't even understand what you said, so it's hard for me to repeat. How do you settle the contradictions in the middle line where both what seems to me as the good and as the bad, that it seems to me that there is good and bad in the world, I combine the two together in their source, in their origin, in the third line. Where is their source? Their source is the upper force from where these two contradicting opinions or paradoxal opinions, as you call them, come to me. So I experience a paradox. Yes. Now what do I do with it? You have to rise above the two to that one source. How? That you say that both are correct, only that in my opinion, I have to find the correct combination between the two, that both of them point at that one source. Your starting point is that both are correct, these two contradicting opinions are correct? Of course. And then you try to actually find how to combine the two. How do they combine? How do they come together into one truth? Yes. How? If I work on myself in order to all the time be in bestowal and connection to rise above myself, then eventually I discover that they are not contradicting. So our perception of reality as contradicting things is actually an incorrect perception. Of course, in reality, no thing contradicts the other, but to the contrary. We are in an integral system in which all of its parts, all of its details are interconnected in a way that each supplements everything else. I have to understand how to work with this technology. I understand that there are two things here that seem contradicting, paradox. First stage, you're saying both are correct. Suppose this I can somehow grasp. Afterwards, you say that there is something that connects them. Connects them to what? To one source, which means what? The action itself, what I have to do. You have to try to be in both of these as one. To raise your mind and emotions above what you have in the one and what you have in the other until the two come together. You have to put together a prayer. You have to annul your will to receive in a special group. In short, to do all those things that the wisdom of Kabbalah explains. And then you'll reach a state where these two ends, these two edges, these two paradoxes join together into one source. At the beginning of this show, you said that a person can develop a second and even a third and fourth thinking system. And then you said that that which seems as a paradox, it's because in one system of thinking, it seems as one thing. In a more advanced system of thinking, it seems as something else, and so on and so forth. So what does it mean to build a second system of thinking higher than the one that I have now? Like a child and his father. Yeah, but I, as a person, what am I supposed to build in order to be able to contain this paradox? Which is the key, if I understand correctly, that I have more than one thinking system. Right. So what is this more advanced thinking system? Faith above reason. I understand. Thank you very much. No, really. What did you just say? Faith above reason. That you have to build a system where the force of bestowal will be more important than the force of reception. What is the force of bestowal? Of giving and love. And how is it related to my ability to grasp paradox? Then you'll grasp not only that which exists in you, but also that which exists in others. And by the power of your love for others, you'll integrate in the other. You'll understand and feel the other. And you'll perceive that which is in the other compared with that which is in you. And then on the one hand, you have paradoxical opinions. And on the other hand, in you, they're connected. I want to ask. We're talking about thinking about something that happens in the mind, and you're talking about relations, love, and it seems completely unrelated. I'm sorry to say that it's incorrect, but it actually is connected. What's the connection? The connection is that from our connection with the still vegetative animate and the human degree, we turn these paradoxical problems into a solution. How does the approach of love and giving that you talked about, how does my approach of giving and love to the world, to people, how is it related to the relations between people, and how will this influence the level of my thinking? What does it have to do with my ability to comprehend things? Very simple. Suppose there's a person that you hate, and you have to start loving that person without erasing the hate. Okay. No, without erasing the hate, it's not okay. It sounds like it's a paradox. It sounds impossible. So I'm telling you that there's a possibility of doing this. It's called faith above reason, where you rise above the hate in love. And then there's hate and love that are interconnected in the same subject, and they actually bring us to the revelation of the solution of the paradox. And the paradox, it remains on its level, and the collision, and its solution is on a higher degree. So, like the allegory in the Torah says, "Beitzchak yikare lechazera v'tale oto le'ola," that Isaac had to sacrifice his son, so there is a solution. So the entire paradoxical thinking, its goal is to create a better society, more adhered to the Creator. And about this, we'll talk next time. Thank you very much, Dr. Leitman. Thank you, Yael. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.